The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarten
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, Ghana and Togo to sign more agreements on power and water supply. Interministerial and Technical Oversight Committee on e-Transform project inaugurated. Ghana Federation of Disabled calls for more appointments to national positions. And family of black teenager killed by policeman furious over jury's exemption of murder charges against white policeman in Texas, U.S. But first, the summary with Jonathan Thompson.
President John Mahama says Ghana and Togo will be signing agreements in various sectors with particular focus on water and power supply. He said this will be done during the three-day visit of Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé, who arrived in the country yesterday. President Mahama announced this at a state dinner held in honor of the Togolese president and his delegation at a banquet hall in Accra. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omanibuama, has inaugurated two oversight committees to see to the effective implementation of the eGhana project in the country. The eTransform project is to improve the efficiency and coverage of government's service delivery. The Ghana Federation of the Disabled has advocated the appointment of persons with disability to national positions. Speaking at a news conference, the Federation's president, Yao Fori Debra, said the involvement of their kind in decision-making positions will make the country to achieve an all-inclusive governance policy. And the family of an 18-year-old black American teenager, Michael Brown, who was killed by a Missouri policeman, has expressed disappointment over a grand jury's decision not to charge the policeman. State prosecutor Robert McCulloch said the jury extensively examined evidence before taking the decision. Mr. Brown's killing by policeman Darren Wilson in Ferguson on August 9 sparked weeks of demonstration by blacks in the U.S.
TBC is mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news in detail. Ghana and Togo are set to sign a number of agreements, particularly in the area of water and power supply. The agreements will be signed during the three-day state visit of Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé, who arrived in the country yesterday. President John Mahama announced this when he hosted the Togolese president and his delegation to a state dinner at the banquet hall in Accra. The event was attended by the Vice President Kwesi Emesa-Arthur and his wife Matilda, members of the diplomatic corps, service chiefs, and some government officials. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
The state dinner kickstarts the three-day working visit of the Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé. The two countries share very close ties historically and economically. To buttress the warm relations between Togo and Ghana, President Mahama lightens up the night with a joke.
During the African Cup of Nations qualifying game between Ghana and Togo in Tamales, I was listening to commentary and I heard of an Ayite scoring a goal, and I was just about to celebrate, only to find out that it was a goal against us. And this was not a Ghanaian Ayite, but a Togo Ayite, who had received a pass from a Togolese secretary, not a Ghana secretary, and has scored a goal against Ghana. Well, in the end, we won the match and qualified for January's African Cup of Nations tournament. But we must all take consolation in the fact that Ghana's victory can also be considered a victory for the people of Togo.
On trade relations, President Mahama said the ECOWAS protocol on free movement of persons needs to be further consolidated by doing away with artificial borders. Nonetheless, Ghana and Togo enjoy very good trade relations, and Ghanaian companies are always represented at the annual Lomé International Trade Fair. Early this month, President Mahama joined his Togolese counterpart, Faure Gnassingbé, to inaugurate a new joint border post at Nuefe as part of the ECOWAS Transport Facilitation Program. President Mahama announced at a dinner a suggestion from President Faure Gnassingbé that a joint border post be opened 24 hours to facilitate trade between the two countries. A suggestion President Mahama says he supports fully and would direct it to the technocrats to map out modalities towards bringing it into fruition. There are also a number of projects to be undertaken by both countries for which memorandum of understanding will be signed.
Currently, plans are far advanced for the joint development of the Jualé-Mombi-Purpose Dam project in the northern region, which is aimed at developing constant power supply to the northern part of our country and the northern part of Togo. Similarly, an MOU on the Sokakape-Lome drinking water supply project will soon be signed by our two countries for work to start on the construction of a water treatment plant, which will use the lower water river to produce treated water for transmission to Lome, Togo. When completed, all towns and villages in the southern Volta along the transmission pipe route in Ghana will also be supplied with treated water.
Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé also added his voice to the need for member states to have a united voice in pushing the integration agenda. He lauded ECOWAS chairman President Mahama's efforts towards the restoration of peace in Burkina Faso and also in the fight against the deadly Ebola virus. At the last ECOWAS summit in Accra, President Gnassingbé was tasked to the Ebola response and vaccination process in the sub-region. Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé's entourage include the president of Togo's main opposition party, Union for Change, Gilchrist Olympio.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
The communications director of Imani Ghana, a think tank, Selim Brantia, says the creation of the power ministry will present challenges as against the functions of the energy and petroleum ministry. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News last night, he proposed that a task force be created to check the problems bedeviling the energy sector. Mr. Brantia said task force should be placed under the energy ministry while other measures are employed to end the problems. He spoke to George Asigri.
Important thing to do to solve the power issue. Since the creation of a new ministry means the creation of a whole new bureaucracy, the biggest problem here is not even the fact that there's a ministry being created to solve the power crisis, but the issue is that the functions of the ministry might overlap with existing functionality that exists already with the Ministry of Energy and Petroleum. Therefore, it is going to cause a lot of conflict in terms of who does what, where, and when, especially when it comes to the actual execution it's going to be. Additionally, apart from the fact that they said a new minister has been appointed for this particular mandate, we are going to have a duplication of a whole different set of complement of workers, etc., who are now going to perform duplicate functions to what pertains in the Ministry of Energy already, from the upstream and downstream sector of the power distribution or the electricity problems that we have. The root cause of the problem is how much power we can generate. But then I believe that instead of setting up a ministry, you should have set up a special task under the Ministry of Energy so that there would have been no conflict in terms of whose rules are being usurped and whose rules are being breached, because those are going to cause a bureaucratic nightmare in the very near future.
And what would that task force be doing?
The task force could have exactly been looking into more efficient means of generating power, looking at how we can have more creative or innovative ways to have people, especially in the urban areas, etc., or people with higher income earning capability, find alternative means of power generation which could supplement what the national grid is offering. Because there are so many alternatives that we haven't looked at, or we haven't encouraged people to look at. And I think that how we could innovatively get businesses that are doing things like solar and other things to also encourage domestic use of other power systems which are not dependent by necessarily on the national grid. In initiative direction would actually create a situation where more and more people will become more self-sufficient with power.
Communication director of Imani Ghana, a think tank, Selim Brantia. But an energy expert, Kwame Jantua, says the creation of the power ministry is a step in the right direction. He argued that power and petroleum are two huge portfolios that ought to be managed by separate entities. Mr. Jantua was of the view that some management practices must be adopted to plug the loopholes in the system.
And the reason is that the portfolio of petroleum and the portfolio of power are two huge portfolios. Petroleum at the present moment, we only have the Jubilee Field. But you should know, when you look at the activity map of Ghana's oil and gas industry, it stretches from Axim right up to Petra. And when all these blocks are in full production, I don't think a single ministry of energy and petroleum can handle it.
The Ministry of Energy has, for instance, two deputies. Couldn't they have done the job, or if necessary, a third deputy could have been added to handle the power sector.
It's not a matter of deputies. It's a matter of having the right management to handle both power and both petroleum. They are not easy ministries to handle at all. And when you look at the amount of money that these two ministries can churn, you need a separate head for power. Power has not only got to do government. Freedom and all that. It is how you bring in the generation plans. It's how you bring in distribution.
Double-barreled guns.
Paul from the World Bank has launched a project known as E-Transform. The project, which will be implemented over a period of 5 years, will take over the E-Ghana project, which ends next month. The E-Transform project is to improve the efficiency and coverage of government service delivery. Prior to the commencement of the project, the Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omane-Buama, inaugurated two oversight committees to see to the effective implementation of the project in the country. Joyce Jechi reports.
Which started 2008 and ends next month, was designed to improve and increase the competitiveness of the ICT sector in the country. It has also provided applications to improve on the efficiency of government service deliveries. The project saw the introduction of Ghana Integrated Financial Management Information System, GIFMIS, which aims at ensuring effectiveness in the use of public funds. Some major achievements of the eGhana project include the introduction of key legislations like the Data Protection Commission Act and the Electronic Transformation Act. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omane-Buama, who launched the eTransform project and also inaugurated the two oversight committees, said the project takes over the e-governance project to consolidate its gains. He said the objective of the e-governance project is to align most ministries to eradicate paperwork and also avoid waste and duplication. Dr. Omane-Buama explained how the project will help in the judicial system.
With a proper linkage between e-immigration, e-justice, e-health, and all that, harmonized and converged at the National Data Center, which will come on stream by March next year. That is just behind the Kofi Annan ICT Center here. You can be assured of a very integrated system. Citing an example, if someone, let's say, was going through a judicial process and the person jumped bail and traveled abroad, you can be sure that the e-immigration system will pick that person up.
The two committees inaugurated are the Interministerial Oversight Committee and the Technical Committee of the e-Transform Project. The Ministerial Committee is chaired by Deputy Minister of the Ministry of Communications, Mr. Atosapong. The Technical Committee is made up of various agencies that will see to the execution of the project. The two committees are to work together to prevent duplication of resources.
Joy Jechi reporting.
Women in Law and Development in Africa, WLDAF, has called for an immediate passage of the Affirmative Action Bill into law. It says it is disheartening that all policies affecting women always delay, adding that it is an indictment on gender equality. Speaking at a press briefing in Accra, the program manager in charge of governance, WLDAF, Frank Broza, said women are the main contributors of taxes and should be given the opportunity to have a say in decision making. He called on the gender ministry to, as a matter of urgency, push for the passage of the bill in the next 2 months to cause a paradigm shift.
Women constitute 50% of peasant farmers and produce more than 60% of food and cash crops in the country, but most of them are denied rights to land ownership. This is as a result of inheritance arrangements and land tenure systems currently practiced. To address the issue, the second phase of the Ghana Land Administration Project Lab 2 is to mainstream gender equality in terms of effective land administration and management. The Chief Director of the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources, Professor Banu Yakubu, said this at a Gender and Land Rights Capacity Building Seminar in Accra for Paramount Queen Mothers. Zephania Dana and Esther Bracco have the details.
About 50 Paramount Queen Mothers across the country are attending a seminar which is aimed at updating and upscaling the knowledge and skills of Paramount Queen Mothers in terms of land administration. Under the second phase of Ghana Land Administration Project Lab 2, one of the cardinal interventions of the Lab 2 is to eradicate gender inequality in land management. Opening the seminar, the Chief Director at the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources, Professor Banu Yakubu, said, in recognition of the critical role of women and in particular queen mothers in the management of land, it is important to organize such seminar for them.
Indeed, you also are aware that in this country, women form over 50% of our present farmers. Looking at our demographic, the population distribution in this country, women form more than 50% of the total population of this country. And we produce over 50% as women of the food and cash crops of this country. Unfortunately, however, women suffer the most under some of our current inheritance and land systems, as most of them do not have rights to land. Of course, the queen mothers from southern Ghana and some parts of the country know that they have important ownership roles in land management in the country. Queen mothers from the northern sector, they know the story. Landholders are typically family owned, and so most of the time they do not have anything in land administration in this country. And these are some of the things that this seminar seeks to actually address, and for you to understand the roles that you must play in ensuring prudence in land management in the country.
The president of the National Association of Women Traditional Leaders, Nana Abena Boatema, called for the active involvement of queen mothers in decision making in terms of land related issues.
The problem that we face is that the three is for both the chief and then the queen mother. But everything will be manned by the chief while the queen mother doesn't do anything. If somebody is even coming to ask for a land for any project, they will go and discuss, and then they will just tell you this is what we have a challenge. So after this workshop, they will convey the message to our chief so that anything that they will do about land issues, they should call it.
Queen mothers are also entreated to work with other traditional authorities and families to ensure that large tracts of lands are not given out without entering into any form of agreement.
Zephania Dana and Esther Bracco filed that report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Ghana and Togo to sign more agreements on power and water supply. Interministerial and Technical Oversight Committee on e-Transform project inaugurated. Ghana Federation of Disabled calls for more appointments to national positions, and family of black teenager killed by policeman fears over jury's exemption of murder charges against white policemen in Texas, U.S. Please stay with us.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The Ghana Federation of the Disabled wants more appointments of persons with disability to national positions. The president of the federation, Yaofori Debra, said people in power influence policies for national development and hope the involvement of persons with disability in decision making will enable the country to achieve its all-inclusive governance policy. He said this at a media briefing in Accra. Aurelia Kande and Eunice Osarian-Ponsan report.
Years, the Ghana Federation of the Disabled has engaged government on critical issues of development, particularly relating to the rights and inclusion of persons with disability in governance. Though some progress has been made in that direction, the Federation is confident that if progressive and consistent steps are continued, persons with disability will be fully integrated and included in all phases of nation building. The president of the Ghana Federation of the Disabled, Yaofori Debra, appealed to government to appoint at least two competent persons with disability, male and female, at metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies across the country to contribute to nation building.
Those who are in positions of trust influence a kind of policy program that the nation should enjoy. And because persons with disability are conspicuously absent from the corridors of power and decision making, a lot of things that concern persons with disability have been drawn over. And for that matter, the Ghana Federation of the Disabled wants to embark upon a battle to get persons with disability included in all aspects of governance.
Mr. Debra said to improve the participation of persons with disability in governance at the grassroots level, material support will be made available.
Ghana Federation of the Disabled is acting proactively to ensure that persons with disability are included so that their voices could be heard and that their views included in publication of policies and programs. We are now giving them the training and supporting them materially and financially to ensure that they are able to compete favorably with persons without disabilities.
the National Advocacy Officer of the Ghana Federation of the Disabled, Isaac Tugan, emphasized the need for the inclusion of persons with disability in decision-making.
If we are also part of the society, we need to be part of the decision-making table. When we are not there, that people do not understand our needs, still come out and do not suit us. We are not only going there to talk about disability, we are going to all developmental issues and decisions concerning the MFDA. In the first place, all decisions that are made without them affected. So we need to be part of the decision-making process.
Some persons with disability who have been elected in their assemblies shared their experiences.
Aurelia Kanden, UNICEF Aramponsan's report.
A research officer of the Ghana Health Service, Divine Logo, has called on opinion leaders to assist in creating awareness on the effects of tobacco use. He said tobacco smoking causes heart and respiratory diseases, lung, oral and throat cancers, as well as infertility. Mr. Logo made the appeal at a sensitization meeting on Public Health Act 851 in Ho. Rejoice MFA Ejieni was there on his father's report.
Most preventable cause of death in the world today. Currently, about 5 million deaths occur annually from tobacco-related diseases and could almost double in 20 years if the prevalence of tobacco use remains constant. Speaking at the public health meeting, the research officer of Ghana Health Service, Divine Logo, said about 1.3 billion people smoke cigarettes, with one third of the number over 15 years old. He said 47% of men and 10% of women smoke tobacco. According to him, statistics in Ghana show that 9.7% of males and 0.4% of females from age 15 to 49 use tobacco products. 6% of men currently smoke cigarettes, with an average of 3 to 5 cigarette sticks per day. Mr. Logo disclosed that a global youth tobacco survey conducted in 2009 among junior high school students aged 13 to 15 showed that 14% smoked, while 12.8% used tobacco products. He urged parents to be vigilant about the movement and activities of their children because their first attempt at smoking could make them addictive. The program director of Vision for Alternative Development, VAL, T.O. Labram Musa, said Act 851 on tobacco smoking, which came into effect on October 16, 2012, bans the practice in public places. Mr. Labram asked church leaders to use their pulpits to educate their members on the health and economic effects of tobacco.
Thus, rejoins MFA Jenny's report.
From tobacco, a 49-year-old Kumasi-based tailor, Mauzu Abdullah, is this year's highest national blood donor. He was given a refrigerator and a citation. He donated blood to the National Blood Service 54 times this year. The award forms part of activities to mark this year's National Blood Donors Day. The director of the National Blood Service, Dr. Justina Kudiansa, asked the public to voluntarily donate blood to save lives. Akwamon Larry Taibat Wazi have filed this report.
Day has been instituted to acknowledge individuals who donate voluntarily to the National Blood Service. It is also to create awareness and reiterate the importance of voluntary blood donation. The National Director of the Blood Service, Dr. Justina Kudua Ansan, encouraged the public to voluntarily donate blood to avoid loss of preventable lives.
It is known the world over that voluntary non-reserve donors are the safest donors. So any system that depends solely on them, their blood supply, is the safest. So that is what we also must aim at doing, because countries around us have done it and the Western world are doing that, and we also, if we put in the right system, everybody seeing blood donation as a civic responsibility, then we'll have enough blood. We will not have to depend on people who have collected money, because if they are not safe, they will hide the truth away from you.
The head of the southern area of the National Blood Service, Dr. Hall Mensah, said though voluntary blood donation has gone up from 30 to 35%, the demand for blood has equally gone up.
The collection of blood has actually gone up. We've seen a marked improvement over the past few years. But the truth also is that the requirement of blood is also going up, because you can see that our health system is developing rapidly. And in order to make sure that children do not die, mothers who are delivering do not die, many more blood centers or blood banks, hospitals are setting up blood banks. banks. So you realize that even though the collection of blood has gone up, we are still not being able to meet adequately the requirements of the nation, and that's why we call on everybody to continue.
Dr. Mensa commended the award winners for their patriotic spirit. The national highest blood donor, Moazu Abdullahi, said he is humbled by the award and urged Ghanaians to cultivate the habit of donating blood. Kenneth Brenyo was the second highest blood donor. Corporate organizations, religious groups, community-based groups, and tertiary institutes were also acknowledged for their contributions to the National Blood Service.
That report was filed by Yaya Kwamu and Larry Taibat Wazi.
The High Court in Accra will, on the 16th of next month, deliver a ruling over the impasse between government and the Forum of Public Sector Workers on the strike it embarked on last month. This follows the suit by government against the 12 labor unions over the second-tier pension fund, which resulted in the strike by the unions. Deputy Attorney General and Minister of Justice Dominic Aina yesterday moved an application for injunction restraining the labor unions from resuming the strike. We bring you Amasa Wabediakon's report.
The 12 labor unions to continue with the civil action if their demands over the Tier 2 pension scheme is not met by government. The government has taken a further step to ensure that the action by the unions is curtailed. Deputy Attorney General Dr. Dominic Anyine canvassed a number of arguments to support the application on legal grounds to the effect that a strike by the unions has overriding effects on third parties, such as students whose right to education is affected because teachers refuse to be in class. He said the claim by the labor unions to a right to strike is not supported by the authority cited by the unions. Dr. Anyine called on the courts to engage in a time balancing of rights should the courts find out that indeed there is such a right as a right to strike. He noted that even if the right to strike exists, it will be subject to some limitations, such as considerations of public interest, public safety, and respect for rights and freedoms of third parties. In a submission on behalf of the labor unions, Godfrey Eboadame said the constitution, in both its letter and spirit, guarantees the Ghanaian the right to strike. He said the effect of the application is to curtail the action, and therefore government should show a more pressing need to restrain the labor unions from exercising their rights. The trial judge, Justice Kweku Said Chan, a court of appeal judge with additional responsibility as a high court judge sitting at the labor court, noted that the matter will be dealt with by the filed statements of case by the parties. He urged the parties to make available to the registrar of the court all documents relevant to the case. Justice Chan had earlier ordered the registrar of the court to effect the necessary corrections on the writ of summons in respect of the name of one of the unions. The court noted that it was brought to its attention at its last sitting that the government and Hospital Pharmacist Association was wrongly presented the writ. Registrar is also to include in the amended writ the Bank of Ghana and the National Pensions Regulatory Authority, who have additionally been added as defendants to the counterclaim.
That was Amasewa Bediakon's report.
A 45-year-old Mason Ali Dufuseni has been jailed 15 years for defiling a 14-year-old girl. According to the facts of the case, Fuseni occasionally had sex with the victim and went on to warn her against interacting with the opposite sex. On the 22nd of last month, the victim's father was resting in his room when Fuseni chased the girl into the room and beat her up mercilessly. The victim's father asked her what had happened, and she told him that Fuseni had been having sex with her. I had therefore warned her not to chat with any man. She explained further that the convict saw her chatting with her classmate, and that resulted in the beatings. Fuseni pleaded guilty to defilement. The judge, Patricia Kwan, signed her judgment, said the age difference between Fuseni and the victim should have deterred him from committing the acts.
In another incident, a 22-year-old laborer, Ebenezer Oku, has also been jailed 7 years for defiling and impregnating a 13-year-old girl. Last June, the victim was sent on an errand, and on her way, Oku called her and asked her to enter his room. After entering the room, the convict forcibly defiled her and warned her not to tell anyone. After some time, the victim's mother noticed that the girl was pregnant, and when she was questioned, she mentioned Oku as the one responsible. The convicted pleaded guilty with explanation to defilement.
And Liberia's President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf have hailed Liberians' efforts in fighting the country's worst ever hemorrhagic fever outbreak, saying Ebola was chasing them, but today they are chasing Ebola. She said this when she addressed a ceremony to welcome a Dutch aid ship bringing medical supplies to European countries to Monrovia.
And finally, a grand jury has decided not to charge a Missouri policeman who killed an unarmed black teenager, Michael Brown. Announcing the decision, state prosecutor Robert McCulloch said the jury exhaustively examined evidence, but Brown's family said they are profoundly disappointed over the judgment. Michael Brown, 18, was killed by Darren Wilson in Ferguson on August 9. His death sparked weeks of demonstrations. Police said shots were fired and cars vandalized after the announcement. Mr. Brown's family had joined public officials in calling for calm. Meanwhile, President Barack Obama, in a statement, urged Americans to accept the decision by the grand jury, calling on those who wanted to protest against it to do so peacefully.
And now turning to a look at some of the stories that made the headlines. President John Mahama says Ghana and Togo will be signing agreements in various sectors with particular focus on water and power supply. The Minister of Communications, Dr. Edward Omane Buama, has inaugurated two oversight committees to see to the effective implementation of the e-Ghana project in the country. The Ghana Federation of the Disabled has advocated appointment of persons with disability to national positions. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwatin
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.